Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on Code Chat today. This is a little bit of a special episode of Code Chat, not in the regular episode series, but kind of an in-between. We're going to be taking a look at Touch Develop in a two-part series on Touch Develop. So I'm joined today by Michał and Jonathan. How are you guys doing today?
Well, good so far.
Good. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Wait till we get into the code, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everybody a little bit of a kind of an elevator pitch of what is Touch Develop?
Yeah, sure. So Touch Develop is about programming on your phone, on your tablet, or on your laptop. So the idea is that you can program even without a keyboard. And just to show you that a little bit, I'm just going to show you like a 2-minute demo.
Excellent.
Right now, here on my tablet, you can also do that demo on a phone or on a laptop, whatever. So Touch Develop is a web app, so you can actually see it runs in a web browser here. It runs in all major web browsers right now. So I'm just going to start with a blank script here. It asks me to call it. It wants me to call it Marvelous Script Number 2. That sounds like a very good name. So here I am in the code editor. Here you see function, the main function of the script, right? And if I tap on that line here, it shows me. So I'm not going to tap so that you see what I'm doing. Here, this keyboard pops up, right? That is actually optimized for touch, right? So now I can, for example, insert a for loop. and now it kind of inserted the entire schema for the for loop for me, and now I can say, what's the upper bound for that for loop? So let's say I want to do something 45 times. Now I tap on that line, and you can now see that I shows up here, right? So the keyboard here, the code entering keyboard is context sensitive, like just like what you would expect, say, from Visual Studio. It knows about the context in which you are. So now I'm inserting I, and it knows that I is a number, so it shows me all sorts of operators for a number. And I mean, as you can see, I could do exactly the same screen on my the same thing on my phone, right? It's just the keyboard would be just slightly smaller, and I would have to scroll.
So the magic is it being able to get the context and put that in the form of keys that you can touch, so that you don't have to use a keyboard, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I guess the pitch is that kids hardly ever use computers anymore, and everyone's got a device in their pocket.
Right.
And it's not reasonable to ask a kid to type in an entire for loop.
Yeah.
Using the tiny keyboard that you have on that sort of devices.
And yet the need to train kids in programming is higher than ever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's the next big thing, we believe. So
yeah, and not just the toy programming languages, but ones where you actually get to see the for loop, right?
Yeah, exactly. So actually you can see here that you can see here like there are braces here. So the syntax is sort of JavaScript-y, you could say, right?
Yeah.
But let me just kind of finish that thing. And the other thing that I can do, I can actually also type if I do happen to have a keyboard. So I can say post to all, right? And it sort of, you can see it does the syntax completion, what you would expect here, right?
I see.
It's some sort of, IntelliSense, but for kids and for
beginners
and phones.
And beginner programmers, right?
Okay, now one of the things that we want to talk about today is some of the features that are being added to Touch Develop. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have some experience with Touch Develop already, but there's a lot of stuff getting piled in right now, right? Can you give us an overview of what's getting stacked in there?
Yeah. So one thing is the different syntax modes that we have, and here you can actually see the expert mode. You can
that's
see
why I'm
like
seeing curly braces.
That's why you're seeing the curly braces.
Okay.
Now I can go back here and say choose skill level. So this is something that would show up if I was starting Touch Develop for the first time, and I can go to the beginner or the kids mode. And here I can see that I get like a different hub experience. I can see that there are tutorials for me and so forth. And then when I get back to my script with my for loop, it actually looks somewhat different.
Oh, look at that.
And now I can, drag stuff around, right? So I can move that here. And, well, of course, then I get an error because now I use it before the definition. So I can move it back there. When I run the program, of course, the same thing happens, right? So, and also the other thing that you can see that there's a whole bunch of buttons here, and now they are all missing. So now we have those like three modes where you can, where you start with the kind of like the very basic mode with the friendly blocks and so forth, and then you can sort of graduate to like the intermediate mode. So let's go there. If I could.
I think you're stuck. I mean, I changed that yesterday, and there's a bug. The button for switching to another mode is gone.
Okay.
And I kind of hoped that this would make
it
into the release.
Development.
So.
And that's not so good. Okay, let's try that again. So it's just a web page, we load. And now, so I was running the beta version of Touch
don't
Develop.
Don't use the beta for demos. I mean, it's like rule number one.
Okay, so now I'm in the current version, so now I can change my skill level back to coder. So that's like the intermediate level, right? And now I can go back to my script again. And here you can see that the curly braces are not there, and then the syntax is a bit more wordy. So that's sort of like the intermediate level. Right?
Yeah.
So I guess what you saw in the beta version is that we're trying to drastically simplify the UI for beginners to make sure that they're not confused by the profusion of options that you get on the first screen. You know, it's very important, the landing screen. So we're trying to, you know, streamline that experience so that beginners can really have a good time when even, they land on the Touch Develop web page.
And even switch it so that if you're an ultimate beginner, then it's all the simpler experience.
Yeah, and we actually prompt them after a while. We're going to say, hey, what about, you know, moving on to a new level?
There you go.
Do you wish you had more options? But it has to be progressive, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do we have for features?
Okay, so now if we are actually in the expert mode, so I switched back to the expert mode here. One thing that you can see here is that I can say that this script is a web service. So this is now like a really advanced feature. So now I can actually deploy my script to a website. So I can create an entire web service running in Azure on actually on any sort of service running Node.js, and I can run my Touch Develop script server side. So this is one kind of like big feature that we are working on. So I think we'll maybe talk about that maybe in the next episode.
Excellent.
There's kind of quite a bit
to
talk about right
there.
the other thing that you can see is that now for our app export, we are using Cordova. So Cordova is this, Apache Cordova is this open source framework for creating multi-platform apps. They run then on Windows, on Android, on iOS, on all sorts of devices. So this is something that we now use for exporting applications from Touch Develop. So we can always run your script right there in Touch Develop, but if you want, you can also export it to all sorts of stores using Cordova. Now, yet another thing that we did. So this Cordova thing is for our slightly more advanced users, probably the ones that who are watching us right now. but if you're actually just coding for the first time, you are not going to, you know, to deal with that because it's still kind of complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably, you know, not as complicated as usual programming, but still a bit too much for our users.
But maybe somebody that's watching right now has a kid that he wants to introduce with the beginner methods, and then he can take his kid's app and use Cordova, export it, and get his kid's creation onto an iPhone or Android.
Yeah, totally. However, we also have an easier method of doing that.
Oh, wow.
So we have partnered with the App Studio team. And now we can export Windows Phone and Windows apps right here with, you know, just a single click. So let's hope for this demo to work. So let me, actually, our Marvelous script was just fine, and it probably shouldn't be a web service. Okay, so now we have this little script. And now if I go and publish it, and I can probably just publish as hidden. It's gonna show me.
So what is that publish thing doing exactly? Is it sending the script to somewhere else, to the outer space?
Yeah, so this publishing is publishing the script to Touch Develop itself so that other users can look at it. And I can also just get that link and share it with my friends on Facebook, and then they just go to the web page, they see a big play button, they hit the play button, and they run my
And they
thing.
Get to see the code too, right? It's kind of open
source. Yeah. So. That's extremely open source. To share anything on Touch Develop, you actually have to share the source share the source code. Okay, so now after publishing, I can actually see that link, and I get a different sharing options, right? But the other thing that I get here is making an app button here with Windows App Studio, and then I can press that, and let's see what happens. It actually asks me to sign into my App Studio account. I suppose.
Pressure is building up for the demo.
Right.
Nice.
And you see, here it is actually putting the, so here I could just kind of keep going, right, and generate
add more sections.
Add more sections and so forth. But the main thing is I can actually, if I write a little game in Touch Develop, I can actually put it on the phone quite easily.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, the combination of these two, of App Studio and Touch Develop, opens up quite a few scenarios. Because App Studio is another one that's extremely easy for people to put very working apps together.
Yeah, so App Studio is kind of mostly about like apps that display all sorts of content, like, you know, from Facebook or from RSS reader, from web pages and so forth. Touch Develop is more about creating those apps that that are more, say, like games or something where you where there's actually some more complex behavior, but not so much data interaction.
Yeah.
So Touch Develop is better at those. So they really you could say they really complement each other in that space of the beginner program.
Yeah, it's a good marriage because the App Studio, what it's really lacking is any sort of like, I want to talk back to the app. I want to give some kind of interaction. And now since I can build something in Touch Develop and bring it in, now all of a sudden I can work with.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, any more features?
Yeah, we have more. So maybe Jonathan can tell us about the collaborative editing?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that I've been working on since I joined the Touch Develop team is that thing called collaborative editing. It's basically, the idea is that when you're in a classroom, you want to work with your classmates, possibly on the same script.
Okay.
And you want to have people working together. And what can we do in the app, in the interface, to leverage that? And one thing we came up with is a method where several people can edit the same script at the same time, and we have collaboration features. So Michal, do you think you can join? Yeah, I think that's Cool Turtle, right?
Okay.
Yeah, mine is not marvelous, it's cool. All right, so what
almost
we're
marvelous.
Seeing here is that script was created as a group script. That basically means that I'm seeing a little bubblehead here, and if I tap on it, it says that this is Jonathan, so that would be me, and that I was last active 13 minutes ago when I wrote that Hello Childline thing before we started recording. There's a variety of features. I think I can switch to my own computer and say hello, and hopefully, yeah, that just arrived on the other screen. So if you tap in there, you can, you know, expand the chat area and start chatting.
So this isn't a workflow like GitHub where I make some changes, commit it, and then everybody sees the change that I'm done with. This is kind of like while you're editing,
exactly.
The other people see it.
It's real time. It's live editing. So I'm going to change a variable in the code. So that was the chat. And if I change something in the code, like if X starts being 42, that change gets dispatched onto his computer, and we can both edit at the same time. And now he sees that I'm currently editing this line.
Okay. This line here.
Should probably
I see.
Here. Yeah. So that's a hint that he probably shouldn't try to modify that value.
I see.
Because I'm currently working on it.
But let's say
okay, two questions. What if you both try to change the same line at the same time?
Well, I think we can do it, right? There's going to be some sort of merging mechanism that.
So you can try to rename that X.
Somebody
and
gets
see what
to
happens.
Win, right?
Yeah, I can try to rename the X. Without rename. No.
And then say here,
yeah.
I do something else. And let's see what happens.
Yeah. I think we're doing okay. So you change your X. Yeah, the change got dispatched on my computer screen. Too bad we aren't seeing it.
Oh.
Let me try to rename that X. Okay, I'm going to try to rename X.
And I put
to X3.
And I put
and he's changing the value. So what I'm doing is I'm changing that X. He's changing that value. Okay.
And?
And, well, you're one.
His won. Somebody won.
Yeah,
there you
won.
Go.
You won over me.
That's kind of the behavior that I would expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what about how many people can collaborate? Is this good for a classroom of 20 students? Or?
So it's probably going to be quite a bit of a mess if we have 20 students.
Editing the same. But technically, it works for the 20 students.
Technically, it's feasible. It's just something that you usually don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I should probably insist that if you touch different lines, that's fine, right?
Yeah. Okay.
What else is in there?
So this is like the live editing that we are talking about here. We actually already have for like a month or so offline merging. So you can when you publish a script, we always actually remember where did it come from, right? What was the base script? So we can take some I can take your script, modify it and publish it, right? And now it actually shows in the script history that it was based on your script. Now what you can do is you can go to my script and merge it into your own.
Okay.
And this is actually utilizing this AST merge that is actually quite smart about sort of resolving conflicts. So it's actually, so for example, if you take a bunch of lines, move it to a different function, it will actually know that you moved those lines to a different function. If I edited those lines in my function, it will actually merge the changes over there. So this is slightly smarter than what you would expect from a, like a normal text-based merge in something like Git.
Yeah.
But other than that, the situation with the entire like collaboration is actually quite similar. You also have this pull request, you have the version. Instead of those hashes, those long hashes, you have the script IDs. When you publish the script, you've seen those, right?
So
but other than that, it's actually quite
similar.
What
you're saying is we have a workflow that's pretty much like Git, in the sense that you can fork and do pull requests and merge back your changes into the mainline, except that we're storing an AST instead of pure text. So we're actually slightly smarter in terms of...
Because you have some metadata around
the
structure.
It's a structure instead of being pure text. It's an actual data structure that helps us.
Yeah, the actual data structure that describes the code. AST is abstract syntax tree.
Okay, and so I imagine you're using that AST to do some of the help that you need to do in the interface for touch develop anyway.
Of course.
Yeah. In touch develop, you actually always edit the AST. You never edit the text, but you always edit the AST, which is different than what you would do in a
pretty
much because any syntax directed. We have to be slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens with the chat as I'm collaboratively editing? Is that saved or does that just kind of get dropped
it's
on the floor?
It's going to be valid for 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's a design decision.
Yeah,
we
that's
made.
Right. It's kind of transient.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, if you want a comment, you can, you can add the comment in your program.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm. Yeah, you can put some persistent text in there.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things we have with that chat thing is if you try to go, well, that's probably not going to work, but if you try to go offline, you can still work offline.
Mm-hmm.
Your changes will be saved in your browser. And by the time you reconnect, like say if you were on the bus, you can do local changes. And by the time you're back online, it's going to happen automatically in the sense that it's going to propagate whatever you did locally onto the server and sync with everyone.
So I'm surprised that I can actually use Touch Develop offline. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So it's a web app, so it runs in a web browser, but it doesn't actually mean that you have to be online. There's this mechanism in HTML5 called the app manifest, so you can just add a file there. And then essentially what happens is the browser caches all the files that it needs for running Touch Develop. And most of what happens is Touch Develop actually happens on your machine.
Okay.
So whenever you see like these keys showing up right here and so forth, that all actually happens in the browser.
Okay.
So we have like an entire compiler and so forth that's all kind of implemented in TypeScript as part of the Touch Develop client.
Okay.
So it doesn't happen in the cloud. The things that happen in the cloud is like when you search for art, when you search for scripts published by user and so forth. I mean that's what you would expect, that then you actually have to go to the cloud, and of course those don't work offline.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the basic code editing, that's all directly on the machine.
Yeah, I would say that we use the cloud only for storage. And the core of the application runs on your browser. So we actually have the compiler that transforms those little programs into code that we can execute and run. So the parser, the lexer, and actually all the well-known stages of the compiler run on your machine.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason we need the cloud is because you don't want your scripts to remain on your machine forever.
Sure. Yeah. You want to move those up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I saw an announcement the other day that all this goodness is open source now.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. So yeah, we're talking actually quite a bit about Git already, and we are also talking about all that lexer and parser on the TypeScript code.
Yeah.
This is now all open source that sits in GitHub repository here, github.com/Microsoft/touchdevelop. You can see that Peli did an update about an hour ago here, and you can keep up with the latest updates coming from us in here. You can compile it yourself, you can run it, you can run the latest and greatest version on your local machine, you can tweak it if you want.
You can play with the beta if you want,
Even more so, right? The beta is actually usually like, couple hours behind that, right? So you can really be on the edge.
Play with pre-alpha if you want.
Yeah, pre-alpha.
We did quite a bit of a cleanup before releasing the source, so hopefully there shouldn't be anything embarrassing in there. But if you have suggestions or comments, we actually do take issues very seriously. We use them internally to keep track of whatever we need to fix. So if you want to tell us about something that's wrong, just go ahead and.
So this is a good place for community to engage with the team.
Yeah. I think we got our first external issue report maybe yesterday.
Okay.
Our first user complained about something. I'm not sure we understood what it was exactly, but you know, that's a start.
So, but I mean, the users also. So we actually in the Touch Develop app, we also have a forum where you can submit. So for our users who are not really into GitHub or like not willing really to set up an account here and so forth, they can still do it in Touch Develop itself.
Not everyone watches Channel 9.
Yeah. But I mean. Especially if someone kind of has some idea how to fix it and so forth, then GitHub is certainly the place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, now I think that that's the content that we've got for this show. We're going to talk about some more stuff in the next one, but let's give folks a teaser so that they'll watch it. And all I have to do is say one word, Arduino.
Yeah, so one thing that Touch Develop also has right now is a plugin system where you can write a Touch Develop script that works on Touch Develop script. And we have used that to take a Touch Develop script and translate it into C code to run on Arduino device. And actually, for other devices as well, because usually what you do is you just compile C code on it, right?
Right.
And then then this plugin actually also operates the little program that flashes the device. So that gives us essentially turns Touch Develop into a programming environment for those devices. And this is actually pretty cool especially for kids if they want to program devices.
Yeah.
Because they usually have quite a bit of trouble with getting all the semicolons right,
and
so forth in that Arduino IDE and so forth. So here you don't really run into all sorts of problems. You get those like friendly blocks and so forth. But then you still get to generate this little C program to flash on the device.
Yeah. Boy, that's awesome. Mm. It's kind of like I love the concept of abstraction, of taking hard things and, we need the hard things. Somebody needs to understand how the wiring works under the dashboard. Mm-hmm. But on the surface, we want a good user experience that really engages people of all levels. And actually, it's not just the, that somebody that's young or somebody that's a beginner isn't skilled. You might want to stay at a high level of abstraction.
Exactly.
You might enjoy programming in Touch Develop without having to get into the nuts and bolts of things, and just kind of stay there and let all the hard things or all the routine things happen for you. So that's a pretty great model.
Touch Develop is really all about making things easy. And I mean, whether we go to whether you write a little program, a little game on your phone or on your computer, whether you want to program Arduino, whether you want to program a cloud service, all of those things, we kind of think that they are unnecessarily complicated for many people, and we are just trying to make them as easy as possible.
That's great.
Mm. And okay. I would also add that one of the highlights, in my opinion, is that you don't have to learn a new thing if you want to go to Arduino, right? You were already playing with Touch Develop, writing websites or scripts or mini apps, and it's just a button away to switch to that Arduino thing. So if you're already familiar with the environment, we just offer you more options for your cool programs.
Mm-hmm. So and you could even go open one of the scripts you made a long time ago and sprinkle in a little bit of logic, and then have it control maybe a robot or whatever.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, I think we have a few robots around in the lab.
Excellent. All right, well, hey, this is really fun, you guys. I'm looking forward to some more information in the next one. So
thanks a lot for inviting me.
Thanks, been a pleasure.
Absolutely, thanks everybody for tuning in to Code Chat. See you next time.
Yep.
See you.